I'm going to try the pulpit mic this week or today. Usually I move around. I don't know if I'll deal with that or not. So they want to have to deal with one of those ear piece things or whatever falling off my head. So all week I've been trying to figure out what am I going to speak about. And Roxanne's been giving me like this evil look going, what, you don't know what you're speaking about, you don't know yet, it's like Tuesday, it's Thursday, it's Friday, it's Saturday, what, you know. And I've been flopping back and forth between this and that or whatever. And then finally it kind of hit me that, won't you speak about Jesus? Won't you speak about focusing on Jesus? And so that's what we're going to talk about today. So let me pray again. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for today. I thank you, Lord, once again, that who you are and what you are. And I pray, Lord, that my words will not be my words, that they'll be your words. I'm just a vessel, I'm just a tool, Lord, that's up here. And I pray, Lord, that you just give us a good time hearing your word and just a time where we can learn from you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So in these verses that we're going to look at today, once again, Jesus was traveling around with his disciples. He was walking around. He did a lot of walking, Man, his leg muscles must have been seriously crazy. And 3 years of ministry, he was traveling to the village of Bethany where Mary and Martha lived. Some of you Bible scholars might be knowing where I'm going. The same sisters as Lazarus, would be where Jesus raised him from the dead later on in John 11. So we're going to jump to Luke 10. 38 through 42. I'll give you a second to get there in your Bibles or in your Bible app, or just give you a second to tilt your head and look at the screen. There's no tissues up here. Okay. All right, it says, starting with verse 38, it says, as Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus. See, that's where Christians get the part about like always eating, right there. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come help me. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset by all the details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it. It will not be taken away from her. Back when I was in high school, for a couple years, I think it was two years, I took a photography class. And during that photography class, I was able to take pictures of, for the yearbook, put a yearbook together. Some of you guys, I think the WSU still has, does yearbooks. And school newspaper, had a school newspaper every month. And also for class assignments, I remember taking a picture of right behind my the trailer I grew up in. Right behind it was a field, and it was a barn. And I took a picture. I still have it. It was a picture of a barn, and the barn. I had to take a photo of it, but the photo was I had it overlapped the photo, so each photo was the picture of the barn, and so it was like all pieced together. So I took pictures of the class, and these pictures were taken on a 35 millimeter camera. And I had to learn all the aperture and all that stuff, and I had to focus in on it. And these were black and white photos. And what was awesome about it is that we got to develop these black and white photos in a dark room. They were on film. Kids, Google what film is, and yeah, you can Wikipedia that. It was really cool because you got to see after the pictures we took for the yearbook or the basketball games we took or whatever, you actually got to take the film and go in there and pop out the film, and you got to go and put the film, shake it in the chemicals. I remember the process, shake it in the chemicals, and you put it in one bath, and you put it in another bath, going on and on. And then once you find the picture, you got to tell if you took a good picture or a cruddy picture. And if you took a bad picture, it was trash. And if you took a good picture, it was thumbs up. You could use it for the yearbook or the newspaper or for your project. It was a pretty awesome. Well, today's scripture that we just read and we just gone through, we're going to look at different things. We're going to look at if one life that was in focus, we're going to look at a different life that was out of focus, and then ultimately we're going to look at the perfect picture, the ultimate perfect picture, because you got to have a perfect picture in life, and you got to remain, because some of us are out of focus, some of us are in focus, and some of us are just not taking pictures right. So first we're going to look at the out of focus, right? When you take a photograph, you don't have the settings right, everything's blurry, It's not like nowadays you just take out your phone and take a perfect picture for the most part. So let's look back at verses 40 and 41. Refresh our memories here. It says, but Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. Martha's lens in the situation in life at that point of time was out of focus on how she treated her sister, the situation, and how she was treating Jesus, her relationship with Jesus. On a side note, if you look at this story, it's kind of interesting. Like, think about it. It's kind of amazing. Like, we always say in the Christian realm and in the Christian vernacular that Jesus has been through it all, right? Jesus has walked a mile in our shoes. Jesus has been through everything, right? We kind of heard that, right? Think about in this context. This is totally kind of a mantra for parents. Think about it. He's dealing with two squabbling sisters, and the sister's like, hey, the sister over here is not doing what she should be doing, he's totally dealing with the classic, this is unfair, my sister's not doing everything, and he's sitting there having to deal with it. He's like, oh my goodness, he's having to deal with the classic mom and dad moment right there. So he's definitely pretty much gone through everything, even though he wasn't a parent, he dealt with parental issues. So you definitely can chalk that up that he has gone through everything. But back to Martha. As soon as Martha invited Jesus into the house, she lost focus. As soon as he walked in, her focus was off. And what really mattered, she put all her care and her worry in trying to make things better around her house, cooking a big dinner. Some of you guys might be like planning on having people over maybe for Thanksgiving or for Christmas or something like that. And some of you guys might be all, thinking in your mind, oh man, I got to get this clean, this done, this whatever, or I got to, cook this meal, or maybe you already got a list figured out of like, man, I've got to cook all these things, or so-and-so really likes this pie, so I got to really cook this or whatever. And, that was Martha's mindset, man. Martha was like in full gear. Jesus is here. The disciples are here. Man, I've got to go in. I've got to start working. I just got to start going. And she was worried about the situation. She was worried about the thing. She was worried about what her sister was doing. She was worried about, you know, how am I going to feed Jesus? How am I going to feed the disciples? You know, is my house good enough? Is the whole situation. But Jesus said, Jesus himself said in Luke 12:25, can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to the span of your life? Man, if you could, man, I'd be worrying all the time. Stretch my life. That's what Martha was doing, and that's probably what some of us do on a daily basis, right? We worry about a project, maybe at work, if we're going to get it done. You know, we got a big project at work. We're gonna, you know, are we gonna get it done? Are we gonna make the task? Are we gonna figure it out? We're worried about our kids at school, or maybe their marriage. You know, is the kids completing their assignments? You know, is my son or daughter, is how's their marriage working out? You know, maybe it's finances. You know, are we gonna make the bills this month? You know. Maybe as a church, we're worried about, you know, are we going to get a pastor so we don't have to worry about hearing Tom anymore? You know, maybe that's the case. We worry just like Martha did. We worry about what Martha did with the cooking and her sister's actions toward Jesus. But does it really help us? Does it really help us worrying, scurrying around and worrying on things here on earth? Does it? I mean, does it, like, this stressing things out? Or does it add anything special to heaven? I mean, do you go to heaven and get anything extra? Like, do you get, like a worry crown? Or do you get, like, you know, like an extra, like, little room in your house in heaven? You know, like, you know, here's your worry room, you know? No, you know, you don't, you know. That's why we need to keep referencing back to Luke 12:25. You know, can any of you worry by worrying add a single hour to the span of your life? No, you can't. You can't. And Martha wasn't realizing that at the time. Also, too, what's crazy about Martha was embarrassing her sister. She was pretty much throwing her sister under the bus, as we say nowadays. You know, back then it wasn't really a saying, you know, because they didn't have buses. But, throw under the camel, you know, throw under the donkey, you know, whatever, you know. You know. And then she was trying to get a house guest involved in the family matters. Instead of going to her sister and say, hey, sis, can I talk to you on the side? She's trying to get a house guest involved, not just any house guest, but the savior of the world. She definitely wasn't winning a good housekeeping seal of approval of how to throw a party or how to maintain guests. She wasn't. Now I want to preface something, okay? Some of you people out there have great hospitality skills. Some of you guys out there have hospitality skills, and God has given you that gift and that talent, and you guys like to throw parties, and man, when people come over this Thanksgiving and Christmas and do stuff like that, you guys will be magnificent and have big, huge meals, and that's wonderful. But if that's what you're focused on, and if that's what you're worrying about, and people and things are pushed to the side, then you've defeated your purpose. You've defeated your purpose. Those relationships, if you push relationships aside and you've put things and food and other things higher than the relationships, you've defeated things. Also, you could do amazing things in the name of Jesus. Like feed the homeless. We could go all out and go feed the homeless right now. We could go downstairs and teach all the kids, you know. We could go pay off this church. We could go build another church somewhere. We could go bake 1,000 cookies. You know, I'm sure Roxanne would love that for the snack giveaway, you know. But if those hinder your relationship with Jesus, if you put those higher than your relationship with Jesus, then it's a barrier. It's wrong. And that's what Martha was doing. She was putting things above her relationship with Christ. She was more worried about the physical matters than the spiritual matters. Now, as we know, works won't get you into heaven. I'm starting to move. Sorry, I'll stay behind the pulpit. Works won't get you to heaven. You can do tons of things, but they won't get you to heaven. But once you have a relationship with Christ, you should be doing things. You should be showing evidence of Christ in your life and helping people out and baking those cookies and doing things. But those things do not get you to heaven. Read James. It's a good book. So many times, as believers, we try to do what we think is right, or what we think is right, what we think is right, what we think the Lord wants us to do, but we miss the mark completely. It isn't about us or the task, it's about our Savior. It's about sitting at His feet. And I'll get to that here in a little bit. I don't want to do spoiler alerts. So we talked about Martha, we talked about her making a lot of food. We talked to her about her losing, being out of focus, losing focus. We talked about her throwing her sister under the camel, the donkey. I like that. I got to remember that. But let's talk about Mary, being in focus. Like I said before, when I took pictures, it was real interesting. All you guys remember this, most of you guys remember this besides a few of you, is that when you took pictures, you never knew if you took a good picture or a bad picture. And that's the way it was when I was in school. I took a picture. Until I developed it, I didn't know. A lot of times you thought you had something in focus or you thought something was good. But Mary knew she had something good when it walked in the door. It says in verse 39, her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. Picture this. Jesus gets invited in by Martha. Martha's running around, busy as a bee, like her hair on fire, trying to get things done, making that big meal. And Mary's just waiting with anticipation. Jesus is saying hi to everybody, whoever's in the house. So I'm assuming, the Bible doesn't say this. I'm not adding to the Bible, I'm just thinking in my brain that there's probably more than Mary and Martha in that house. And she's just waiting for anticipation for everything to settle down and for Jesus and the disciples to sit down. And Mary's just waiting. As soon as Jesus and the disciples sit down, she's like, okay, it's my chance. I can do it. I'm sitting at Jesus' feet, Savior of the world's feet. I'm sitting at his feet. And that's what she did. It's what she had been waiting for as soon as he walked in the door. She wanted to be close to the teacher, to the rabbi, to the Messiah, to the Lord. She wanted to hear what he had to say, the stories he wanted to tell, the teachings. She didn't want to miss a word. She wanted to be as close as she could be. Little did she know later on she'd be at his feet again when her brother had died. What's interesting, if we look at the history and the cultural dynamics of this, is most of the time is that men were at the teacher's feet and the rabbi's feet, not the women. But Mary had many distractions around her. Cultural, her family, day-to-day life. But she put all those aside to be at the feet of Jesus. She knew where the rightful place was. And she wanted to be there. She knew where the place, she knew where the place would needed to be. She knew where the perfect picture was. And that's what we're going to talk about next. See, it all comes down to the perfect picture. It all comes down to this. Martha was out of focus. Martha was completely out of focus. She had in her mind, what she was doing wasn't necessarily completely wrong. You've got to have people, you got to have things, you got to have the household stuff done. You got to have meals cooked, you got to have do things like that. But you can't miss the Savior. But Mary, she's right where she needed to be, at Jesus' feet. So a lot of times in our lives, there's times in our lives where we're out of focus and we're doing things, we're running around, and we miss the Savior. And there's times where we're not worshiping, and there's times where we are worshiping. It says in verse 42, there's only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. See, Mary had two choices, to start cooking or to start listening, and she chose the latter. This led to the ultimate perfect picture of us in heaven being at Christ's feet worshiping him. Mary wasn't concerned about what people thought, which is amazing back in that day. Because nowadays, and I'm not trying to get crazy political, whatever. Women don't care. Women do whatever. But back then, that was huge. To follow Jesus, to be a woman. To sit at his feet. To proclaim his word. To be a teacher. That was huge. Mary wasn't concerned about what people thought, what her sister thought. Her only concern was what Jesus thought. She wanted his direction in her life. This wasn't the only time in the Bible we would see this. If you would flip your Bibles to John 12, we'll look at John 12, 1 through 8. Says in says 6 days before the Passover celebration began, Jesus arrived in Bethany, the home of Lazarus, the man he had raised from the dead. Dinner was prepared. Once again, dinner. There you go. Always eating. Dinner was prepared in Jesus' honor. Martha had served it. Lazarus was among those who ate with him. Then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from essence of nard. She anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance. But Judas Iscariot, the disciple who would soon betray him, said, "That perfume was worth a year's wage. It should have been sold and the money given to the poor." Not that he cared for the poor. Kind of interesting. That's a whole different sermon right there. He was a thief, and since he was in charge of the disciples' money, he'd often stole some for himself. Jesus replied, "Leave her alone. She did this in preparation for my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." Once again, we see Mary at Jesus' feet, but for a different reason. Mary was given everything to Jesus. Before, she was at Jesus' feet to listen, to learn, to get everything, every word from Jesus' mouth into her ears. But now, she was at Jesus' feet worshiping him, wanting him, seeking him, learning from him, just giving everything physically to him, like expensive stuff, her perfume, physical stuff, everything, preparing him for burial. And what's amazing, each time Jesus approved of this. You see, Jesus will not turn us away when we come to him. He wants to spend time with us. He wants us to lay our burdens down at his feet. He wants us to lay our thoughts down at his feet. Our ideas, our dreams, our cares. When we're angry, when we're sad, when we're happy, he wants us to lay them down at his feet. And it doesn't matter if we're a man or if we're a woman, if we're 5 or if we're 12 or if we're 16. It doesn't matter. He wants us to push the world aside like Mary did and focus on him. If we focus on him, we'll get that clear picture, that perfect picture on how we're supposed to live, walk, and be with him in this crazy world. Because as we all know, this world keeps spinning and keeps getting crazy. Now I'll close with this, get you guys out here early. In 1990, a woman entered Häagen-Dazs ice cream shop in Kansas City Plaza for an ice cream cone. While she was ordering, another customer entered the store. She placed her order. She went to the counter. She placed her order. She turned around and found herself staring face to face with Paul Newman. He was in town filming the movie. His blue eyes made her knees buckle. She finished paying and quickly walked out of the store with her heart just pounding. Gaining her composure, she suddenly realized she didn't have her cone. She turned to go back in, and at the door, she met Paul Newman, who was coming out. He said to her, "Are you looking for your ice cream cone?" Unable to utter a word, she nodded yes. He said, "You put it in your purse with your change." When was the last time the presence of God made you forget what was going on around you? Made you forget your dishes, forget your ball game, made you forget the bank account? So, when was the last time that you gave everything to God and you just left it there and you forgot about it? Like the lady forgot about her ice cream cone. The perfect picture is at God's feet, at Jesus' feet. There's no other place that's perfect besides at Jesus' feet. Anywhere else, it's going to be a little out of focus. So the question is are you in focus, out of focus? You trying to get the perfect picture? Are we as a church in focus, out of focus, trying to get the perfect picture? That's the question I have for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for today. I thank you, Lord, that we can come to you anytime, anywhere, any situation. We can lay anything at your feet. We can be at your feet. We can be like Mary, and we can just sit at your feet and learn from you. We can dive into your word and learn from you, and we can just sit there and just take it all in. And I thank you for that freedom and that opportunity. And I pray, Lord, that we take opportunities for that. That we just push the world aside and we forget about our ice cream cone, we forget about all that stuff, we forget about everything. I pray, Lord, that we just be able to give stuff to you, Lord. And I thank you for today. And I pray, Lord, that you just give us a good rest of the week and give us a good Thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a good rest of the week. Have a good Thanksgiving.
Speak life into my soul.